ಸ್ವ ತತ್ಸವಿತುರ್ವರೆಣ್ಯಂ ಭರ್ಗೋ ದೇವಸ್ಯ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧಿಯೋ ಯೋ ನ ಪ್ರಚೋದಯಾತ್. May we meditate on that Supreme Being who dwells in the hearts of all. He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been studying the Viveka Chudamuni at the crest jewel of discrimination by the great seer philosopher Shankara. And the subject matter of this book is to explain the truth that the true self is Brahman, is God. Atman, the true being within us, is one with the universal self. And this truth has been revealed in the scriptures by four Mahavakyas, we call the great sayings. Tattvam asi, that thou art. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Ayam Atma Brahman, this Atman is Brahman. And this, the consciousness, pure consciousness, is Brahman. But, as I have often explained to you, that what is revealed in the scriptures has to be revealed within each human soul. You see, there is a wrong conception about religion, that the revelation was given to Christ, for instance. They all believe that Christ had the revelation. And so, if we accept Christ, if we believe in Him, then we are saved. This is a completely wrong conception and misunderstanding of the whole truth of religion. Christ had revelation. That same revelation has to come to each one of us. Then only we find ourselves free. If somebody else eats for you, that will not appease your hunger. If one is sick and the doctor takes the medicine for the sick patient, the patient does not get healed. The patient has to take the medicine. Same way, this truth, for instance, I am Brahman, or that thou art, or what Christ taught, kingdom of heaven is within. Just by believing in these words, and that this truth was revealed to Christ, that doesn't help us. This truth has to be revealed within our own soul. And so, this great seer philosopher Shankara points out that we are in ignorance. And in order to understand this truth, there are three steps. You hear about it from the scriptures, from the lips of the Guru. But then reason upon that truth. What is that Atman? What is that true I? And what is a false I? And then again, meditate upon that truth in order that that revelation can come to you. In other words, God is a reality, a substance, a fact. And what this God is, what this Atman is, what this Brahman is, these are different names. Or what you may say Christ consciousness or Christ is. Nobody can express in so many words. But only when you realize that truth for yourself, then it is that you know what it is. Then you don't need any other proof. You see, the proof for God or Self or Atman or Brahman can never be given. It's not possible. You may give a proof, there is counter proof against it. Because it is not a matter of reason or argument. Do you need to have to prove the existence of this substance that you see before you? When you see it, you perceive it, you sense it, you touch it, you feel it. Same way God can be known. There lies the proof. And when you know Him, you cannot describe. You can describe this. You can describe any other sense, any other object of perception. That is possible because there is comparison and there is difference. I can compare it with similar substances and I can show the difference between this and other substances. But when it comes to God, there is no comparison, no similarities. No, you can only say, not this, not that. Differences you can see. But you can cannot positively say, God is this. You know, Sri Ramakrishna had one beautiful truth talk. He said, everything has been defiled through the lips of man, that is, uttered through the lips of man. The scriptures, the Vedas, the Bible, they were uttered by man. You can read them, you can utter them. But the truth of God, what God is, nobody has been able to utter in words. That which is relative, that only you can express. That which is beyond time, space and relativity is beyond all expression. And what is the trouble about theology of today? The trouble is that they are trying to define God, which is indefinable. Attributes of God, this and that, all anthropomorphic. And it's an opinion, it's an idea. There's no proof for such an existence. And when you know Him, when you realize Him, there's no question, no proof needed. And until you know and realize Him, it makes no difference whether you believe in God or if you do not believe in God. It makes no difference whatsoever. So religion means to experience this truth, and the supreme experience is that there is no God and you, but just God is, and I am that. And so, when you hear this truth, then you reason upon it. Then Shankara points out that how there is this Atman, God, within each one of us. There is this kingdom of God within us. Now, what is that God? What is that heaven within us? What is that reality within us? Then he says how the reality or Atman is covered by sheaths. And what are those sheaths? He points out there are five sheaths. This physical sheath, this body. You see, when you say, I am Brahman, which is this I? Am I the body? Is the body God? No, it's a sheath. covering the Atman. Then there is prana, a vital energy, which expresses breath. That's the life principle. Is that Brahman? No. That also comes and goes. Brahman or Atman is that that is unchangeable. We have to understand that. The unchangeable reality, that which does not change. That which changes has birth and death, and then it becomes transformed into something else. So body is not the Atman, it's the sheath covering the Atman. The vital principle is not the Atman, it's a covering. The manas, the mind, is a covering. The intellect is a covering. And then they call the sheath of bliss. And that is exactly, it is very difficult to point out what that is. Except that when we are falling asleep, deep sleep, then that covering alone exists. Sheath of bliss. It's called sheath of bliss because it is next to the blissful Atman. Now again, you see, none of these sheaths is the Atman. Now, what is the sense of ego that we have? I am an individual man. The Atman or God within, identified with these sheaths, appear as the self. You know, if you analyze, you will find that what we call I, what we know ourselves as I. For instance, you know you Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, and that you are so many years old, or that you have this object in possession or that object in possession, you have so much money in the bank, or you don't have any money in the bank. Well, all these have nothing to do with the Atman, your true being. You see, this I that you are behaving with, that you are living with, is a shadow, nothing else. Just think of that. And we are living with that shadow of an I. And you want to enrich that I. I want to know this. I want to possess this. I want to have this. Who is this I? There's no reality. Because it is just the Atman identifying with all these changing phenomena gives the appearance of an ego, of I, self. And so, you have to find out, you have to reason out that none of these sheaths or all these sheaths together do not make up your Atman. Something distinct from all these sheaths. Now let us read. If we reason and meditate on the truth of the scriptures, transcending all the five coverings of ignorance. You see, if we transcend all the coverings, all these five coverings, all these five sheaths, we realize the ultimate existence, which is the Atman, the witness, the infinite consciousness. Of course, you see, this realization is a direct realization, and which is not possible unless we transcend waking state, dreaming state, and dreamless sleep state. Until we transcend these three states, this realization does not come. You see, revelation. What is revelation? It's not that comes with a flash in your mind. No. Just as this waking state is something so tangible to us, we know what it is. Then there is a dream state, There is no physical consciousness at all. But we are experiencing in dream. Then there is deep sleep. That is also a state. When we have rest and happiness also. There is a peace in that sleep. And within these three states, you remain identified with the sheaths, one or all the sheaths. You know, it is not an intellectual understanding, but it is something, a direct, immediate experience when you transcend the consciousness of all these sheaths, just as in dream. You transcend the physical consciousness. Just as in deep sleep, you transcend the mind. But you have not reached God yet. You have to transcend that unconscious state. It is the fourth, beyond these three. And that is revelation. And in that consciousness, you see, all this disappears. The manifold universe disappears. You know, this idea of you take some drug and get some vision. But you see, when you take the drug, you have vision, yes. But what are those visions? You see this pillar, yet. And you see it lighted up. Sort of hallucination in a way. But all this disappears. You have gone into another domain, as it were. And that is revelation, that is realization, that is experience. If we reason and meditate on the truth of the scriptures, transcending all the five coverings of ignorance, we realize the ultimate existence, which is the Atman, the witness, the infinite consciousness. You see, that's the infinite consciousness, not consciousness of any object. You see, I'm conscious of this object, or I'm conscious of my mind and body, or I'm conscious of my knowledge. That is not consciousness. The pure consciousness is not of any object. No content of consciousness. There is no content. Content in the consciousness itself. It is pure consciousness itself. That is God. Now, you see, you can, even if you try to meditate even, or think, you will find that you are a conscious being. And this consciousness, this power of consciousness, is God. That consciousness is God. That is the Atman. That pure consciousness. So you see, God is tangible in a way. Don't you see? We are using that consciousness. We are using that light. With the help of that light, everything is lighted up. But that light itself remains unknown to us. And it becomes known to us only when we get rid of all contents of consciousness. The Atman is self-luminous, distinct from the five coverings. It is the witness of the three states of consciousness. You see, we are witnessing the waking state. Now when we go to dream, Atman is the witness of that dream state. When you go to deep sleep, Atman is the witness of that deep sleep. That's why even though you are unconscious, you come out and there is the continuity of consciousness. It is existence, changeless, pure, ever blissful. That's the unchangeable reality. And it is, you know, how everyone, in a sense, knows God. You see, you are changing, you know, body, mind, senses, everything has changed. And every moment it is changing. But you have a consciousness, I am I. And that's God. You see, where can you find God? Where do you see God? Come to yourself. It's within. All the time. You live, move and have your being in God all the time. And in all your life, you have never seen anything but God. You see? All those of you who are present before me, who are, who, what are you? God. Nothing else. Only this is a prolonged dream. I am seeing you as Miss so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so, Mrs. so-and-so. It's all dream, prolonged dream. In reality, it is I am everywhere. And this, not talk. This has to be an experience. Then you have got spiritual life. My master used to say, religious life begins after samadhi. Then it is to be realized by the man of discrimination as the Atman within himself. Now, the disciple asks a very interesting question. He says, Master, if we reject these five coverings as unreal, it seems to me that nothing remains but the void. Because if we analyze again, we shall find that if we eliminate this body from our consciousness or mind, senses, everything that we are conscious of. If we eliminate them, if we consider them as mere dream, as unreal, then what remains? Emptiness, void. How then can there be an existence which the wise man may realize as one with his Atman? You see, this is the doubt that can come to us from our present state of consciousness. Because that's what we are holding on. Now you take away, all right, intellectually, even if you take away all that, then what is there? Nothingness. To that the master replies, that is a good question, O prudent one. Your argument is clever. Nevertheless, there must be an existence, a reality, which perceives the ego sense and the coverings, and is also aware of the void, which is their absence. Now, what you question, you know, that's very intelligent, good. But, you see, there is a witness. The master said, I said that the Atman is the witness to these different states. While you are awake, or while you are dreaming, or while you are in dreamless sleep. And suppose you take those away, and you say there is a void. There has to be a witness to that void, otherwise how do you know that there is a void? This reality by itself remains unperceived. The witness remains unperceived. Sharpen your discrimination that you may know this Atman which is the knower. So how can we have that sharpen our discrimination? Of course, sharpen this discrimination means be absorbed in meditation. Completely freeing your consciousness from every content of consciousness. He who experiences is conscious of himself. Without an experiencer, there can be no self-consciousness. The Atman is its own witness. Since it is conscious of itself, the Atman is no other than Brahman. The Atman is pure consciousness, clearly manifest, as I have already explained to you, clearly manifest as underlying the states of waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep. You see, that consciousness is underlying all the states. You see, God is ever present. It is inwardly experienced, that is in that higher state, as unbroken consciousness, the consciousness that I am I. It is the unchanging witness that experiences the ego, the intellect and the rest with their various forms and changes. This is trying to give us some idea, some understanding. It is realized within one's own heart as existence, knowledge and bliss absolute. You see, there you realize you are immortal. You realize you are blissful. You realize you are pure consciousness. Realize the Atman within the shrine of your own heart. You don't have to go anywhere. You are a walking God, living, breathing. Realize that. The fool sees the reflection of the sun in the water of a jar and thinks it is the sun. Man, in the ignorance of his delusion, sees the reflection of pure consciousness upon the coverings and mistake it for the real eye. You see? This I consciousness that is in every one of us, what is it? A mistaken consciousness. It's a reflection, the pure Atman, pure consciousness, reflecting upon these sheaths, coverings, gives us the sense of I. In order to look at the sun, you must turn away from the jar, the water, and the sun's reflection in the water. The wise know that these three are only revealed by the reflection of the self-luminous sun. They are not the sun itself. Similarly, the same way, the body, the covering of intellect, the reflection of consciousness upon it, none of these is the Atman. The Atman is the witness, infinite consciousness, revealer of all things, but distinct from all, no matter whether they be gross or subtle. You see, this Atman is the revealer of all things, but not the Atman. You see, I know my own mind. The Atman is revealing the mind, but Atman remains not within that revelation. It is the eternal reality, omnipresent, all-pervading, the subtlest of all subtleties. It has neither inside nor outside. It is the real I, hidden in the shrine of the heart. Realize fully the truth of the Atman. Be free from evil and impurity, and you shall pass beyond death. Now, may I invite questions? Here is something written here. Swami, are there given numbers of souls being born, or are new souls created constantly? Souls are not created at all. Souls are unborn and undying. They have no birth, no death. Creation is of the body, mind, senses, etc. And that they are born and they die. Now, of course, you see, there is no number of souls. There is just one soul, one Atman. Soul by soul, I mean Atman, the Spirit, the True Self, that is one with Brahman. There is just one. This ether, for instance, that we have in this room, and the ether outside, not two ethers, just one ether, pervading the universe. Same way, Atman is one. You, I, sun, moon, stars, the whole universe, one Atman. I am in the sun, I am in the moon, I am in the stars. I am not born and I do not die. I am eternal, ever-present, unchangeable. And then about the universe, the names and forms, you see, only names and forms, infinite. Creation is infinite. Creation is beginningless, endless, infinite. Names and forms, like on the ocean, waves rise and fall. Huge waves, small ripples, innumerable, countless, infinite number. So souls are not created constantly. There is no beginning to either of you or me. There is no beginning, and there is one Atman. Well, now from the floor, ask questions.
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. But Swami, bodies are created.
Huh? Oh yes, bodies are created. Of course the parents create the body. Shiva is anything.
And there is no limit to that creation.
No. Infinite. Don't you see how the population is growing?
When do we lose our sense of individuality?
We don't have any sense of individuality. We seem to have. And then that seeming disappears when you see the reality. You see, this idea that the dewdrop, you know, Edwin Arnold made that mistake that the dewdrop falls into the ocean and becomes one with the ocean and loses its individuality. That's not it at all. The ocean thinks he's a bubble. And ocean realizes itself as the ocean. You see? And so that little wave that is rising considers itself as an individual. But you see, it rises and falls, always losing its individuality. And what is the reality back of it? The ocean, vast ocean. So the reality of our being, the reality of our Atman, of our being is the Atman, the Self that is one with Brahman, and there is one Brahman, one God.
What is it then that is reborn?
What is reborn? You see, as long as the Atman in ignorance identifies itself with the mind, senses and etc., etc., with these coverings, so long, we remain subject to birth and death. Not the Atman is subject to birth and death. But you see, Atman identified with mind, senses. Then what is death? This body dies, but the mind remains intact. And so that Atman with the mind is born, appeared to be born. I can give you the illustration, it will be easier to understand. I am reading this book, going page after page. The book is changing. I am witness. I am the witness. So Atman is the witness. And Atman is reading this nature, book of nature. And this is changing. Name and form changing. So the Atman appears to be born, appears to die. You see the idea? And as long as we identify ourselves with the coverings, so long we are subject to birth and death. Well, that's my subject for next Sunday.
How can you meditate on the Atman until you know what it is?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. How do you meditate on the Atman until you know what the Atman is? Very good, very good. You know, Swamiji has beautifully expressed this truth. You see, there is this idea, how can the knower know itself? Atman is the knower, the witness. So how can the Atman know itself? That is the question. Now, the eyes see everything. But you can't look at your eyes, can you? In order that you can see your eyes, what you need? A mirror, a reflector. Now, the reflector has to be perfect in order that you can have the real reflection of your face and eyes. And we are trying to reflect, see that reflection everywhere. But where is the best reflector? A Christ, a God-man. And he represents, he in him is reflected the Atman perfectly. So if you meditate on Christ, or meditate on an avatar or God-man, you are meditating on the Atman. And that is possible. Because as long as you are meditating, so long there is a meditator and an object of meditation, duality. And then arises a consciousness in you when the meditator and the object of meditation have become unified. And then you realize Atman as Atman. You know, it's very difficult to express in language. Because howsoever you try to explain or express in language, it is still defective. You can't exactly express that absolute. Anything that you express in a sentence or in words, in language, is relative. It doesn't give the absolute truth. You know, the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, one time, asked him, tell us something about that nirvikalpa experience, that highest experience. So he said, you try. The moment you try, you'd go into that experience. Then again he'd come back and he'd say, I try again. And he'd go into that experience. There's nobody to express. So he said, what can I do? It can't be done. Ask some more question.
When we think we should do something, and another part of the mind says no, is that the same mind?
It all depends on what you want to do and what. When the mind says no, you should not do it. So if it is a good thing or a bad thing, I have to know.
Is there something else in you?
Right, right, you are. There are, we have, as it were, a higher mind and a lower mind. Same mind. And so sometimes the lower mind prevails, sometimes the higher mind prevails.
But it is the same mind?
Same mind.
It isn't always easy to tell what to do.
Well, yes, sometimes we can.
Sometimes it becomes unclear.
That also is true. But also, you know, there is that saying, I know what is right, but I have no inclination to do it. I know what is wrong, but I have no inclination to avoid it.
What does it mean if, intellectually, you have established a line of conduct that you think is right with your mind, and yet obstacles of an almost insurmountable nature keep coming up, despite your meditation, despite your pleas to God for help? Then what?
Sure, that's why struggle, life is a struggle, until you reach that transcendental state.
Should you feel then that you are on the wrong path?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But just remember that in order that we can grow spiritually, it's a constant struggle for some time. And then you want to, for instance, you want to devote yourself to God, but obstacles arise. Yes. Our external obstacles and inner obstacles, they arise. But we have to struggle, fight them, overcome them. And so always remember, life is a struggle. Where there is no struggle, there are two extremes. One is the lowest, where there is no ideal, no goal, just like a dry leaf in the wind, whatever more impulses arise in the mind, they run after such to fulfill, and there is no struggle. And there is no struggle when one has reached that transcendental revelation. There is no more any struggle. But in between, there is always struggle.
I remember reading in the story of Ramakrishna, and one of the disciples asked him, knowing he could transfer this experience to him by a touch, he asked him to do so. Then, a few days later, he asked him to take it back. He couldn't stand it.
Yes, I know that situation, that case.
But if this is the ultimate experience we're reaching for, then...
I know, I understand. You see, for instance, If it is given to anybody when the vessel is not ready, then he just doesn't want it. So it happened, they say, Mathur Babu, that disciple who was taking care of him in the material way, he pressed upon him. And so he said, all right, you have a little taste of that. And so then he said, but I'm just missing my, I'm not doing anything, any duties, and I can't look after my estate. Oh Lord, you take back your ecstasy. I don't want that. Even when Sri Ramakrishna gave that touch to Vivekananda, he said, what are you doing to me? I have my parents. And then Sri Ramakrishna said, you also are like that. You see? In other words, you know, we have this clinging to this surface life. something instinctive. And when that revelation is about to come, we feel we shall lose this life, so we fight it. But then when we are ready, we go and attain that. And then through the grace of a touch of a great soul like Ramakrishna, one can have that, but one can't contain it. The rest of his disciples, you know, later, you know, Vivekananda and all the disciples, they received that touch and through that touch went into samadhi, the highest samadhi they all had. And then again, they struggled in order to reach that samadhi by their own struggles and to make that their own. Well, that's a different story. Om Hari Om. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasri Navadhi Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us. May he guide us. May he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.